we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can come as a church family on a Sunday morning and we can get stirred up as we give to you, as we worship, Lord, as we give of ourselves, Lord. We thank you that you speak to us and you stir up something inside us, Lord, that gets us ready to love more, to serve more, to be a light for you, Jesus. And so we thank you as we hear your word today, Lord, that you are stirring us to go forward and be the light that you've called us to be. We ask for anointing on myself as I preach, Lord. We thank you for it. We believe that everyone who hears these words today has a soft heart, ready to hear your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we're getting close to Christmas season. And I've seen a few, as I've been traveling a little bit, I've seen a few Christmas decorations. Who here in the church today would admit that they're kind of maybe a little bit of an early decorator? Is there anyone that would admit that? Aaliyah admits it. Yeah, we have Debbie. There's a few of you. Yeah, Fallon is as well. The Cook family is. We're not quite some. I try and move our family that direction, to be honest, because I like Christmas. And I like Christmas decorations. Candace is more like she's keeping an eye. When December the 1st rolls around, maybe then she's willing to go get those boxes from the basement. But, you know, I did the thing last year where I was responsible to build something at the end of our lane, kind of like Christmas wreath. And that's totally my thing. So I can bring it out whenever I want. So it might come out a little bit earlier than December the 1st this year. But we're starting to think about the Christmas season and preparing for Christmas. And I wanted to speak just a little bit about the preparation that happens inside as we prepare for the Christmas season. You know, it's a time of year, you know, I was thinking, what would be a phrase that would encapsulate, for believers anyway, the Christmas season and the stretch leading up to it? And that message or that phrase, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, that comes to mind, right? It's a time of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And that's kind of maybe communicate some of the emotions we feel, but it's not that way for everyone, right? And so Christmas is an opportunity and time for us as believers to show the love of Jesus to those around us. Because in my experience, and there may be even some people here, that sometimes there's memories that aren't the happiest memories associated with the Christmas season. So sometimes it's a time where those things can become amplified and we become aware of needs or people that are, you know, perhaps going through a little bit of a tough time. And so it's actually a time of year when we have a unique opportunity to show the love of Jesus to those around us. And you know what? We can prepare for that. That's something that we can get. If we know that coming into that season, we can get stirred up in the love of God and start preparing our hearts so that we go into the Christmas season with something to give. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about this week, and I think to next week as well. We're going to talk about the opportunity we have to abound in love and to be filled with the hope of Jesus as we go into the Christmas season. You know, as believers, we have the love of Jesus inside us, and we have a hope. So we have an opportunity to make a difference. We really do. We have an opportunity in the next month and a half or next couple of months to really make a difference in the world around us. And so, you know, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time at the beginning of the sermon just reminding you and bringing up some verses that talk about the love of Jesus and how we are called as Christians, how there's a call and an expectation that we would grow in the love of God and overflow in the love of God. And I have a whole bunch of verses here, and I'm not really going to comment on them. We're just going to kind of read through them, and we'll take it from there. But it's a really good reminder. Now, we're going to start with some verses from Paul. So we'll go to Philippians 1:9, first of all. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. Some verses from Peter. 1 Peter 1:22, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. A little bit later on in the same book, 1 Peter 4:8, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Then we have another one of the apostles, John, in 1 John 4, 7-8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. A little bit farther on in that same chapter, verse 11, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. John's next book, 2 John 5-6, I'm writing you to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have heard from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he's commanded us to love one another just as you've heard from the beginning. Wow, kind of a common theme there, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, and there's more verses certainly I could have picked. But it's amazing when you read through the Gospels, whether it's the apostles, people who spent time personally with Jesus, or some like Timothy and Paul, that were kind of maybe one generation removed, kind of one step removed, but they had this revelation. They had this deep in their spirits, how important it is that we're supposed to show love for each other. And it's interesting when John writes there, that last verse I wrote, he says, this is not a new commandment. So John is saying, this is not a new revelation. This is not a fresh revelation. This is not something the Lord just showed me, and I want to show you. But this is something that we've heard from the very beginning. And John heard it from the very beginning, from Jesus himself. So in John 13, this wasn't written. This was actually written not by John, but a different John. But this is the story of Jesus. And in verse 34, John 13, 34, Jesus is speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. A new commandment I give, that you love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So what an incredible emphasis on love. And Peter and John and James and all the other disciples, they were there with Jesus. And Jesus says, there's a new commandment that I'm giving you. Love one another. And it was emphasized again and again and again. And one of the questions I was asking myself was just kind of praying to this last week. Lord, show me a little bit more deeply why it's so important for us as Christians, us as believers, to have this revelation of the love of God. Why is it talked about so many times in all the Gospels? Why is it so important that we love each other? And one of the things that the Lord dropped right away in my spirit, a couple things actually, he says, first of all, as believers, this is the love of God is one of the things that we have unlimited access to. We have unlimited access to the love of God. And our world is a place in need of love. Would you guys agree with that? Would you guys recognize that? Our world needs the love of God. Not just human love, but it needs the love of God. And so one of the very things that you and I, in Christ, have unlimited access to is one of the greatest needs in our world today. That's not an accident, is it? We have access to the unlimited love of God through Christ, where it fills us up. We're filled to overflowing, so we have love to give it away. And that's the very thing that our world needs in dark times, in tough times. And it's one of the very things that the world really needs, even in this Christmas season, going into this time when you know, man, there's, for some people it's easier, but for some it's not so easy. So it's not an accident. I believe it's God's plan that the greatest needs in the world are met by believers who are filled up on Jesus. Believers who have a vibrant relationship with Jesus, and they have something to give a world that's full of needs. 1 Peter 3:15, the second part of that verse says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. If someone asks you about your hope, always be ready to explain it. The world's going to come asking. The world should come asking. We should have an expectation that the world will come and ask, why is it that you're doing well? Why is it that you seem happy? Why is it that you don't seem stressed? Why is it that you seem hopeful? The world should come and see something in us that makes them wonder and wants to ask questions and get a sense of what it is that we believe, what is it that drives our perspective, what is it that's grounded us to give us this love and this hope. It shouldn't be a secret that we have a love and a hope. So we're going to talk this week just a little bit about bounding in love. And next week we'll talk a little bit about being filled with hope, love and hope. I heard this phrase once, and I wasn't able to track it down where I heard it, but I heard that the spirit of a person who hasn't encountered the love has a God-sized hole in their spirit, a God-sized hole inside, just waiting to be filled with the love of God. They have a spirit just waiting to be filled with the love of God. But what happens is when the world has a God-sized hole waiting for the love of God, they try and fill it with all kinds of other things, right? Possessions, relationships, it could be traveling, it could be various pleasures of various kinds. all kinds of things, accomplishments is another thing. People, they have, there's a giant hole, and they recognize that. Maybe they don't quite process it like that, but they're trying to fill that up. They're trying to not have that sense of void, that sense of lack in their lives. None of those things, however, can fill that hole that was designed to be filled by the love of God, right? That hole in the human spirit that is yearning for a relationship with Jesus can only be filled by the love of Jesus. That's the only thing that will truly satisfy. You know, I was thinking this last week about this aspect of even just a lack of love and some of the things that are happening in our world. And it's been humorous at times, but it's probably mostly more sad than humorous. But this whole Don Cherry thing, for example, right? You know, he makes some mistakes. And of course, if you know Don Cherry, it's not the first time he's made mistakes when he's talking on his program, right? But then he gets attacked. And there's people saying all kinds of mean things about him. And then there's a backlash. You know, there's people sticking up for Don Cherry that are, now they're attacking the people that are attacking Don Cherry. And then you have people attacking those who are attacking the people that attacked Don. It's just like back and forth. And then people are saying things about white hockey players and people are attacking them. And it's just, you know, this is a world that needs the love of Jesus, isn't it? Otherwise, what happens? We're just reacting out of our flesh. And there's an attack, and there's this, and there's squabbling and fighting. And that's not peace on earth, and it's not goodwill toward men, is it? The world needs the love of God. You know, it's not just in our media, but you can go into coffee shops, you can have conversations, and, you know, the things that you hear discussed, oftentimes it's not necessarily peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The world needs the love of God. And the answer is not human love. Human love is a good thing, right? I mean, there's all kinds of people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, and they show goodness and kindness toward others, and that does bless them. But human love has limitations that comes with it, right? It's a soulish love that comes from mind, will, and emotions. And so it can do some things, for sure, but there's no way that it can measure up to the love of God, because that's a limitless love that can accomplish anything, because it's a supernatural love that comes from Christ himself. Amen? And so the answer is not more human love. And those who don't know Jesus, that's what they would say. Well, we just need to, you know, and I'm sure there's all kinds of songs that talk about the fact we just need to love each other a little bit more. We just need a little bit more love. And that's not a bad thing. But the world really needs the love of Jesus. That's the love that's truly going to make a difference in our world today. Ephesians 3:14 says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he'll empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." And then we have the description of the limitless love of Jesus. "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully." A limitless love, a love that's infinite, is too great to understand fully. But Paul's really captured it. And so when he's writing this letter to the Ephesians, he's saying, may you have the power to understand how wide and how deep, how long, how high, how full the love is, how full the love of God is, so that it can go down in your hearts. You can get filled up and then begin to overflow. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, human love doesn't make us complete with life and power. It's the love of God that makes us complete with life and power. It's the love of God that energizes us to show that love to a world that needs it. Amen? So as Christians, we know that we're carriers of God's love. It's placed inside us. We receive the Spirit of God inside us. And thank the Lord for that. We're grateful for that. But we need to go and get filled up again and again. It's not a one-time thing. It needs to happen. We receive the Spirit of God, but you know what will happen? We will dry up. If we're just relying on that one infilling, when we come to Christ and say, well, God's Word says that I receive the Spirit of God and God's love, so I have God's love inside of me, so I'm good to go. I have a truck. Not the one I'm driving right now. It's the one that it's parked at home. We call it Marshmallow. I don't call it Marshmallow. The kids call it Marshmallow, which is just... That's an awful name for a truck, but it kind of stuck. It's just white, and that's the only thing that resembles, I don't know, it's embarrassing. Needs a better name. But the thing with this truck is it's got pretty close to 400,000 kilometers on it. And so one of the reasons I had to replace it was it's starting to leak oil. And so, you know, you go to the gas station, put in some gas, but then it's probably, if you're driving that truck, you want to check and make, you want to check the dipstick and make sure perhaps it needs some oil. And usually what was happening toward the end was every second tank of gas, I was adding a little bit of oil to the truck as well, too. And there was other things that was leaking as well. So it's a good truck. I like Marshmallow, but it's started to leak and starts to use up oil, and so it's not a daily driver anymore. Has anyone else had a vehicle like that at some time in their life? That I see a few hands raised. Yeah, you put in some gas and you put in some oil and you're good to go. I had a friend a while back, and I, you know, was in a cab of his truck getting something, and in one of the rear crew cab doors, he had 2 liters of oil sitting there. What is this for? He says, well, I never know when I'm going to need to put oil in my truck. You know, it's like, that's probably a wise thing if you have a vehicle like that to carry some oil with you. But trucks like that, they use oil and they leak. Well, here's the thing with us. In our lives, in our daily interactions with people, we're always using up love. Do you guys know that? It takes love to have grace for people. It takes love to navigate certain relationships. It takes love if you're an employee and you're working with employees. It takes love if you're leading people, or if it takes love if you're being led by someone else and you're wanting to respond in grace. So in all our interactions, as we go and spend time with friends and family and employees, or we're shopping, or we're volunteering, or, you know, we're taking part in our favorite hobby with whoever, whatever we're doing, we actually use up love in those interactions. Now, some people, they kind of, you know, return it, and they'll help you get filled back up, right? Because you give and you shall receive. But again, that's a human love that's coming back. And then, to be honest, sometimes there's people that you spend time with, and they're just being honest here, right? No one in this room, of course. But, you know, you spend time with them, and it's just like they just turn on a tap, and they just drain all your love out. And you're done spending time with that person. You're like, oh. You know, have you guys ever been in a situation where you can recognize that you need to show love toward a person in a situation, and you kind of think to yourself, like, I just don't know if I can do this. I just don't feel like I have the ability to show love in this situation. That's like a ding, ding, ding. That's a warning sign that the love tank has gotten a little bit dry. We use up love. And as believers, just like we leak faith, I remember Doug preached on this several years ago. He was talking about how we need to keep on filled up in the faith of God, because we leak faith, but we also leak love. And so we have to go back and get filled up so that we're always full and we're always overflowing with love. How can you tell when you're running low on God's love? I was thinking of these verses in 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter, right? And it talks about all the things that love does, and love is patient and love is kind. Well, we're going to read it in reverse. This is the Pastor Cam reverse paraphrase for today. But I just changed the wording a little bit so that we can kind of see, well, here's what happens when you're running low on love. When your love tank is running on empty, here's some of the indicators, here's some of the signs. So this is 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, kind of in reverse. A lack of love is revealed when we become impatient and unkind. When we get low on love, we're jealous, boastful, proud, and rude. A lack of love demands its own way, and it gets irritable and touchy, and it keeps track of the slightest offense. A lack of love doesn't care when it sees injustice and can't be bothered to fight for the truth. When our love gets low, we give up easily. We start to doubt if things will get better. We feel like there's no hope left, and tough situations become too much to handle. We crumble. I don't know if you can recognize any of those symptoms in your life, but I can. So I'm preaching to myself a little bit here today, because there's times, honestly, every week, maybe even more often than that, where I can recognize sometimes some of those symptoms can creep in my life if I'm not getting filled up on love, if I'm not remaining in Jesus. We want to take care of those leaks, right? As Christians, as we get, you know, my truck is getting more leaky as it gets older, which is why I'm not driving it every day. But as Christians, as we get more grounded in the Word, and as we get stronger in our faith, as the roots of God's love grow deeper in our spirit, we should be getting less leaky over time, not more leaky over time. Wouldn't that be awesome if you got a vehicle that would just, you know, just got more reliable and more fuel efficient and needed less repairs the more you drove it, less rust? That would be like an amazing vehicle, wouldn't it? So, I don't think so. If it was true, though, if there was such a vehicle, you would do really well. But as believers, the more mature we get in Christ, and the more grounded we get in love, the less we should leak, right? The less repairs we should need. The more of God's love we should be able to hold inside us, and the more we should be filled and overflowing with love to give to those around us. So part of the natural process, I think, of growing in Christ is some of those leaks start to get sealed up and start to get repaired. And maybe we don't, in a particular time where we may have taken an opportunity to have an offense or get upset or get discouraged or walk in fear, any of those things that might cause our love and our faith and our hope to leak a little bit, it's the natural progression of a believer that should happen less often, right? That we should leak love a little bit less and we should start holding more of it so we have more to give. But we have to go back also and get filled up all the time to that limited supply, that supply of love that's available to every believer. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we've known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." So if God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, let's just change those words around, and we can say, he who abides in God abides in love. If you're abiding in God, you're abiding in love. It's really that simple. Jesus Christ is our love connection. He's the one that gives us the ability to have that love tank filled up. And so getting filled up is simply a matter of abiding, or as the New Living Translation reads, I'm going to read some verses right away, talks about remaining, abiding, remaining, being connected to the one who's our limitless supply of love. And John the Apostle, we talked about how he had heard this taught directly from Jesus himself. So we're going to read some verses in John 15. I think I'm going to start in verse 4. I changed my mind about this on the fly here during the sermon, during the service. But let's start in verse John 15, 4. We're just going to skip around a little bit. But reading in verse 4, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." So being connected to the vine, Jesus, that is our source of life. And it's interesting, those verses say, apart from me, you can do nothing. You will not bear fruit if you're connected to me. What are some of the fruits of the Spirit? What's the first three that come to your mind? Love and joy and peace are fruit of the Spirit. Those are the easiest ones to remember, aren't they? They come first. How do you produce love in your life? It's a fruit of the Spirit. But if you're not connected to the vine, if you're not connected to Jesus, if that's not a vibrant, growing, alive revelation, you're going to die on the vine. You're going to wither away. You got to stay connected because that's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a natural love and joy and peace. We don't have to fight for those things. It's just a natural outcome of having a vibrant relationship with Jesus. You won't be able to avoid having love, joy, and peace in your life if you're abiding in the vine, if you're remaining in him. So once Jesus is, he's teaching about the importance of being abiding in him, abiding in the vine, and then he kind of turns the direction a little bit later on in that chapter, and he starts talking about the love of God. So this is verse 9. "I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." First of all, he's saying, remain in me, and now he's saying, remain in my love. "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Verse 11, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." That's as far as we'll go. But it's interesting that Jesus is talking about abiding in the vine, abiding in me, and then he's saying, remain in love. Remain in me, but remain in love. And when you do that, your joy will overflow. Again, it's a natural progression of being connected with Jesus, a natural progression of having a vibrant relationship with Jesus. And so we receive God's Spirit on the inside when we come to faith in Jesus. But that's not enough. If we want to remain walking in love, we need to go back again and again and get connected, get filled up, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Receive the love of God on a daily basis. You know, I was thinking about this, and, you know, I know this. There are believers all over this world that love Jesus. And God loves them. And because they've made a decision for Christ, they know where they're going. They have eternal security. But some of them, the only time that they pray is when they come into church on a Sunday morning, the pastor asks them to bow their heads. And the only time that they're reading the Word is, you know, times like this when it's up on the screen. That's not abiding. And so one of the things that we have to realize, if that's the only time that we're spending time communing with Jesus, is when we're here on a Sunday morning, this is the only time we're in a Word, is here on a Sunday morning, we have, I can say this with absolute certainty, a 0% chance of abiding throughout the whole week. It's just simply not enough. It's putting drips into a gas tank that needs lots of that love fuel to fill it up, right? And so this daily abiding, this is so key for us as believers to understand, because we want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We want to have love. Does everyone here want to have love, joy, and peace? I do, absolutely, in my family. I want to have it. But I recognize if I want to have it, the onus is on me to get filled up. I can't be not filled up and just expecting everyone else around me to get filled up and then wanting to live in the overflow of what they're doing. The onus is on me to get filled up, and then I can have an expectation, and I'm going to have love and joy and peace in my life. So what does remaining in God look like? You know, it'll look different for every one of us, I think. I think it's being intentional about getting filled up, whatever that looks like. It might, you know, for some people, it might mean just having a time of prayer, even before they roll out of the bed in the morning. The moment their eyes, you know, open, or they hear their alarm clock, they just take some moments right there and put God first in their day, and then perhaps they connect in the Word later on. It's a little bit difficult to read your Bible in bed, you know, but it might start like that. For others, they might get out of bed and then make some coffee and then go have quiet time. You know, for some of you, you prefer to do that in the evening, whatever, or during the day, whatever it looks like, whenever you have an opportunity, it'll involve talking to God, having a conversation with Him, just telling Him what's going on. It'll involve praising Him and thanking Him for who He is and what He's done in your life. You know, it's amazing when you get the focus off of what you're going through and just start to get the focus on Him and who He is and what He's done for you. The things that you're experiencing, they just get smaller and smaller and smaller, and God gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you do it enough, pretty soon all you can notice is Him and what He's done for you, and you can't even see this stuff that you're experiencing anymore. I think it was Fallon, you were talking about this, even just encouraging us, you know, at the end of the worship service. Very, very same principle, how God's called us to be like Him. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more we reflect who He is, and the less we see of ourselves and the less others see of us, they just see Jesus in us. Just another metaphor, another picture to describe what we're talking about. But we are called as Christians to be filled up with the love of God so that we have something to offer a world that doesn't know the love of Jesus. Something to offer a world that many times is hurting and fighting and bickering, and they need someone to come moving in an opposite spirit, someone who has something to offer, some love and some hope, and real God kind of love, not just the human kind of love, but a limitless love that can truly change and revolutionize their life. Imagine going into a hospital. Let's say you have a medical need. Imagine going into a hospital and you don't see any of the people that you would normally think of as patients in this hospital, but every hospital bed is filled with someone who's dressed like a doctor or a nurse. There's no one at the nursing counter. There's no one at the reception desk. You go in there, and there's doctors hooked up to IVs, and there's nurses just laying on beds, wrapped up with a cast, whatever it is. You walk through this hospital, and there's not a single patient. But you realize that everyone in that hospital who has medical knowledge or is part of the medical profession is actually sick and receiving care themselves. Kind of a strange picture, isn't it? This is what happens when Christians run low on the love of God. We become the very people we were meant to help. Interesting. We become the very people that we were meant to help. Those symptoms that we talked about, if we let ourselves get low on the love of God, we're the ones needing help, right? We're the ones needing healing. We're the ones needing hope. Instead of overflowing, We're looking around saying, well, who can I receive from? Who's got some love for me, right? Instead of being the one to offer hope to someone who's in a hopeless situation, we might find ourselves thinking, what am I going to do? What hope is there for me? The love of God, I believe, the Lord has just been speaking to this so strong to me this year. The love of God makes such a difference in all these areas. When we receive the love of God, when we go back and get filled with the love of God, strife and offense and a lack of unity and selfishness, those things, everything that the fruit of the Spirit was designed to bring healing and wholeness in our life, the love of God just ushers those things in, that fruit of the Spirit in. And the other stuff that we're struggling with, it just flows away. It just goes away. For you and I believe that receiving the love of God is something that we can be intentional about on a daily basis. The Lord's helping me do this more and more. I've never been a place in my life where as part of my declarations and my prayers in the morning, I've said, Heavenly Father, today I receive your love. I've never done that before, but I'm starting to do it on a daily basis. Lord, I receive your love today, because I'm recognizing if I'm going to be who God's called me to be, and if I'm going to, you know, have something to give the needs of the people around me, I need to be full of the love of God. If I'm going to be the husband that God's called me to be, and the father that God's called me to be, and the leader that God's called me to be, and the witness that God's called me to be in this community, it'll only happen through the love of God flowing through my life. I can't do it in my own strength. I simply cannot do it in my own strength. I'll run dry, I'll get on empty, and at some point in time, I will end up being the very person that God's called me to reach. And that's true for all of us. This is one of the reasons why we have a mission statement, a vision statement in this church, to be free, full, and overflowing. This is exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about being free and full and overflowing. It's free from everything that would hold us back, and full of the love of God, full of the life of God, full of faith. And it's not just for ourselves. We need some of that for ourselves, absolutely. But it's overflowing so that we have something to give to the world around us. Amen? We weren't designed to live in our own power, and we don't have enough power in and of ourselves to bring hope to a dying world. But through Christ, we become free, full, and overflowing. We have something to give. We have something to offer. Let's stand. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. 1 John 4:9, the light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This aspect of the light of God's love, it's what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians. I can't remember if I gave you that verse or not, Mandy, but go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. This aspect, I appreciated this so much when Pastor Dean was here, because he was talking about the light of God's love inside us. It's so important that we recognize that we are called to be lights, but that light is powered by love. That light that you and I have as Christians is powered by the love of God. And so 2 Corinthians 4:7, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. That light of God, it's a great treasure. It's something to be stewarded. It's something to value. It's something to place great value on. And we recognize that God's given us this great treasure, but it comes from an unlimited source. We can get filled up. We can receive more of the love of God anytime we choose to. Anytime we choose to fellowship with our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables that communication, that connection. Anytime we choose to get filled up, we can experience more of the light of God. And it's just like turning up the light a little bit more. If you have a dimmer in your home, you know, it's neat how you turn it up and the light gets brighter. Well, being connected to Jesus, being connected to the vine, remaining in Jesus, just makes that love go brighter and brighter and brighter. We were meant to be attractional as believers, weren't we? That's why 1 Peter said, you know, you're going to get asked about this hope that you have. When you have the light of Jesus inside you, people are going to be attracted to you. They're going to be drawn to you. But we want to have something to give. We want to have something to offer them. And the love of Jesus in our hearts, that's what attracts, and that's what enables us to have something to give when it's overflowing in our lives. Why don't we just do a declaration, and then I'll pray, and then we'll end off. Just repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I receive your love today. I declare that I'm filled up with the love of God. Filled to overflowing. So I have something to give the world around me. Thank you, Father, that I am a light. And others are drawn to the light that I have in Jesus. And the hope I have in Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just respond now today. If you feel that the Lord has been stirring you about this and giving you an increased revelation, just as our eyes are closed and our heads bowed, just put your hand up in the air and believe with me. And I have my hand up because I'm someone who needs more of the love of God in my life. And if that's you and the Lord's been speaking to you, just put your hand up just as a sign that you want to respond to God today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're showing us how the love of God fills us up, fills us to overflowing, and those things that we can struggle with in our fleshly nature, those things fall away when we're filled up with the love of God. Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love doesn't just cast out fear, it casts out doubt and strife and unbelief and insecurity and addiction and hopelessness and all these things, Lord, that our world experiences, and they have the potential to hold us back if we're not filled up with the love of God. We thank you, Lord, that the love of God removes all those things. So we thank you, Lord, that we receive your love. And we lift up our hands today in an acknowledgement and recognition, Lord, that we need your love to have power in this world, to live lives where we have power and something to give, where we're attractional and we have something that people can see in our lives. Lord, it only happens through your love. And so, Lord, we declare that we receive your love today, and not just today, but on a daily basis, that we go back, we stay connected, we remain in you, so that we receive the love of God, Lord. Lord, let this be a church, Lord, that is free and full and overflowing, free and full and overflowing with your love. That all who come in contact with us, all who hear about Solid Rock Church, everyone who knows someone who's part of our family, would immediately know, man, those people, there's a love, there's a kindness, there's a grace, there's a wholesomeness there. It's awesome. Lord, it can happen through you, Lord. And so we declare that we're willing to be used by you. We're willing to be filled up, Lord. And we thank you today for your love. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We give back to you. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us, Lord. The only reason we're able to respond to you in love is because you first loved us, Lord. So we thank you that you loved us first. We return that love with grateful hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you for joining us at Solid Rock Church today. If there's anything you'd like prayer for in your life,